2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a new message. Well, new for me. Some of y'all veterans, you probably heard this preached every which way possible, but to me, it's new. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to try to get down to verse 7. And that's when the meat of the message begins. Y'all doing all right? All right, so two of you's doing all right. Good, good. The rest of you just hanging on for dear life. Jody didn't explain that totally. We had an impromptu meeting yesterday. Jody said, "Yeah, too bad you didn't hear. You didn't get blessed." I called Ryan in about 30 minutes, and we come up here about an hour later. So, I mean, we understand that you wouldn't hear, but you still did miss a blessing. No, I'm just kidding. Ain't that cool? We have a good time, though. We did have a good time. But it was on Facebook, so you know that thing's already got like 3,000 views? That's pretty cool. So we had like 25, 26 here. How many, Sharon? 27 count kids. We usually don't count them, but we will this time. Plus, we've reached over, you know, just about that many people. So anyway, I'm excited about the message tonight. I'm telling you, this might be one of the best messages I've ever gotten to preach. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to preach it good, but if you can cipher out what I'm saying, you'll be a better Christian if you hear it, then apply it. Okay, you'll be a better Christian. Right? I'm going to try to be a better Christian because of what I'm hearing. Right. Are y'all ready? Y'all excited? The title of this message is Overwhelmed. Anybody want to leave? Because we like to accentuate. We like to show everybody how everything's going good, especially in church. But we rarely show everybody what overwhelms us. But God doesn't mind to show it. Amen? Paul, let's get into it. I'm just going to preach. If y'all don't mind, we'll just cut loose. I'm going to try to stay on some of my notes because it is a new message, and sometimes my mind runs too fast, and there's some things I absolutely want to get across to you guys. So if I stammer around in a little bit, don't worry about that. I just want to get you the meat of this. So let's start reading in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. My gosh. Are y'all reading the same place I am? Is anybody confused yet? Paul had a vision. He said, I met a man. I don't know if he's a man or not. God knows. And he took me all the way up into the third heaven. Man, as a Bible geek, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. As a Bible geek, I'm like, woo! I want on that train. Amen? I want on that. What? How do you get on that level, right? How does one obtain to be on that level? And then even, I've heard people over the years, I've been in the church for a little while, some people have been in the church longer than me, but I heard over the years people say, I want to preach like Paul. I want to have a backbone like a saw log. I want to stand up and preach no matter what, blah, 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 blah. And I shouldn't have said that last part. Just be total critical of other preachers. But I want to say this. Sometimes you want the results, but you don't want the work. Sometimes you want the results, but you don't. I want to meet that dude. I want to meet that person that I don't know whether it was a human or an angel or whatever. And we went up into the third heavens and we seen some stuff. I could tell. I don't know if it's a man or not. God knows. Ain't that? And I knew such a man, whether in the body, this is verse 3, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. God, let me in on that conversation. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul got to do amazing things. He's probably the second biggest character in the New Testament. Jesus and then Paul. He writes 14 epistles of the New Testament, or is given credit for 14 epistles of the New Testament. His teachings are probably the bedrock or the foundation of the New Testament church. The Romans is like it's like our constitution of the New Testament church. It's what we are. It's amazing. And Paul said, "Then I got revelation. I heard, my gosh, I'm going to get excited and not even preach what I want to come preach. I'm not even supposed to be preaching right here." He said, "I heard things that a man shouldn't even be uttering. It's not lawful." You're like, "Man, what did he hear?" Have you ever wanted somebody else's gift? Have you ever wanted we can't say that out loud. I have ran into some people in faith, and I go, "I'd like to have that. I know why I can't sing. Because if I could sing like some people sing, I would sing everything I say. I wouldn't be humble about it. I'd just sing everything. I'd sing the menu. What do you like to eat?" You'd be glad to ask. I hear some people preach. It blows me away. People like David Jeremiah. I'm like, "Oh, gosh, why can't I be that composed? God, why didn't you make me like that guy?" Never mind. It's a whole nother problem. We want a lot of things, but then we want all the results, but we don't want to have to go through any of the pain. Give me those revelations like Paul got. Give me those messages. Let me sin. Okay, yeah, but once you become a Paul, then all your friends get together and say, "We're not eating until we kill him." Oh, never mind. I'm just kidding. Hey? Or, "Hey, let's take him out of the city, stone him to death, leave him for dead." No, I'm just kidding. Shipwrecked, right? Snake bit. And then come to find out he gets these revelations that he can't even speak of, but yet they come with a thorn in the flesh. Write this down if you're a note taker. I wanted to do this right off the jump before we go any further. I don't want my church to be a dumb church sometimes. This was not a sin. Just make sin, Paul's affliction in his flesh was not sin. Just write that, make a note. It wasn't something he struggled with in sin. It was a physical issue. Amen? It was either headache so bad, eyes so bad, something in his body that was debilitating to the point. It was not a sin that he struggled with. Some people try to put that on there, and I'm like, "You're insane, okay?" But anyway, sorry, I just want to throw that in there. Y'all ready to get, let's get into the meat of the message, why we came. Overwhelmed. He was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. A messenger of Satan. Beep. Please leave a message at the tone. These are my notes. Beep. Everybody that's 45 and above knows what just happened. Beep. Please leave a message after the tone. For all you younger than that, there's a little thing that beeps on your phone, and it says, "Go to message," and you click that, and you listen to the message. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Back in the day, we had caller ID, okay? And we had this little white box that went by side caller ID. It was called a message machine. All right? And when it was bleeping like this, that means there was a message on it. I think everybody in here is safe. I see Dana back there. Sorry, Dana. And there's one back there I see. Dana might know what I'm talking about, but, you know, I think I'm safe with everybody else. And you went, you know, and you hit the message, and there's somebody on the other line. Well, this was like, "Beep, please leave a message. Kevin can't be here right now. He can't get your call." So, and you would do this, especially back in the 80s when you didn't pay any of your bills. Never mind. Sorry. They don't know anything about that either. But this one is, here's what it is. It's a messenger of Satan. And it would say, "Hey, this is Satan. I just thought I would give you a call and let you know that thing that's overwhelmed you, yeah, it's coming again. It's going to happen again. God didn't take it away from you. Yeah, that thing that you don't tell 95% of the people in your life about, but that thing that overwhelms you so greatly, that thing you're afraid of. Oh, that was so cool. That thing that you think that makes you less than. That thing that you talk to God about and you say, God, this. That thing that Satan, that messenger Satan says, he forgot about you. You think God forgot about that thing in your life. If y'all don't start amen, I'm going to stay right here until y'all do. Because y'all are real cool. Here's what I wrote. Check this out. Hey, it's me, Satan. You know that thing that overwhelms you? That thing you don't talk about, that with 95% of the world? That thing that scares you? That thing that makes you feel less than? That thing that makes you feel like God has forgot about you? That thing you go to bed with and wake up with? That you rarely express at church? Yeah, I'm still there, baby. Because it's a message. God has not removed that from you. He says no. He said no. This is the messenger of Satan. This is God. Now that thing that has not left, and you know, you said it. Listen, you have been anointed. You've brought it to the altar. You laid a Bible on it. You slapped some scripture on it. You got on every prayer list. You got on every prayer group. You found that anointed person and you said, pray for that. I wish we could be real. Y'all are either into this real good or y'all fooling me one. Right here. And he still didn't answer. And he still said no. No. And the devil is wearing you out about it. I mean wearing you out about it. You have went back and said, hey, God, this thing, I looked up scripture. I went in there and looked up every time, every word it says about it. Oh, never. I looked up every scripture that referenced my issue. And I named it and I claimed it. Still said no. Man, let me read the scripture. Y'all might not believe it's in here. It does say, listen. Go back to verse 7. Listen what it says. The messenger of who? To buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why in the world? It seems like in this scripture that God is co-oping with Satan against me. Is that not the way it reads? Because it doesn't say that God comes along and says, no, that's not true. Let's just say, for instance, it was headache so bad that he could not see. He was excruciating pain. And guess what? He's going through one of these headaches. And for somebody who writes, and somebody who studies, and somebody who prays, and you can't even get a thought through because your head's hurting so bad, I wish I knew every one of y'all real well. But I wish like I could dig into that place where there's something that gets to you so bad, but it's right in your strength. It's right where you should be strong, but God, there's a messenger in there from Satan, and you're like, God, remove this. Let's move on, all right? Let's just move on. Watch this. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might be depart from me. Wait a minute. Paul hasn't had to pray three times about raising people from the dead. He didn't have to say, please raise him from the dead, please raise him from the dead. He said, boy, get up. I ain't through preaching yet. Healing people, speaking into people's lives. Amen? Here we go. You don't have to do anything for anyone else repeatedly, but for you. That's why I wrote a note. Man, people come to you. I'm just going to speak on my behalf then. People come to me. Hey, just say a word to me. Give me a word. Say something. Give me a bit. Hey, just go ahead. Give me a word. I'm like, all right. And I say a word. Or I give them something. Or I say, I've been working on this. And they walk out. Boy, I'm blessed. That's awesome. I'm going to charge hell with water pistols. See you later, brother. And you sit in that office, or you sit in your car, and you sit in your home, and you worry about stuff. And, oh, God, all right, Lord, you gave them a word. You know, man, that was a whap. You got them, Lord. Right, now give me mine. Give me my word now, Lord. I would like to be encouraged, and I fired up and excited and forget my issue. All right, God, I'm ready. My plate. Here we go. Oh, you want me to? I'll go to some preachers that I like. I'll go to some books I like. I'll go to the Word. I'll go to prayer. Where is it, God? I'm helping everybody else, Lord. Paul's like, man, I'm healing people. I'm writing epistles to churches. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Oh, man, I feel a headache coming on. Oh, God, my head's hurting so bad. God, I'm helping everybody else. But it don't seem like you're helping me right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. If you ain't, you're going to get there. If this message ain't helping you tonight, take some good notes. Amen. Go back and listen to the recording and make notes, because guess what? One day, you're not going to be Superman or Wonder Woman. Golly, bum, I used to think, oh my goodness, people, oh, Superman, yeah, because he's my favorite hero, of course. I found out I am not. And even if I was, I found my kryptonite. It's 45. Be truth, it was 44. And some of you right now are sitting there going, you rascal, wait till 80. Wait till 80. Yeah. I'm gonna read my notes right here. Three times, every time he prayed, he probably said, "I will be a better preacher if it would take this away. I'll be a God. If you take away my problem, I'll be a better preacher. That's me. I'll be a better teacher. I'll be a better worker, God. I'll be a better mom. I'll be a better dad. I'll be a better child. God, if you would remove this." Oh, could you imagine the third time he prayed? It was probably the most effective prayer. That's usually how mine go. My descending prayers, I start out really eloquent and with real good words. My middle one's usually got some decent words in it. And that third one is just me, just stupid. Where carpet and face begin to melt together and you don't know where one ends and the other one begins. And it just starts out with God. Help. A little H, a little E, a little L, a little P. That's it. That's all I need is a little help, Lord. Amen? I don't know. I've told you that. Y'all think I'm crazy because some of y'all, I was going to say stupid. A bit more effective, more true. But my prayer, I'm serious. When you call me and there's an event that's way above my pay grade, which is a lot of stuff and way more than I know, this is all I do. I had people when I first got into ministry and even when I first came here, they go, "You're a warrior." I am not a warrior. Not in that sense. I just know who to go to in the battle. I just go to the general. I just go to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I just go to the ones who are in control. I just go to the ones who are in power. If you think I'm going to walk out and say, "Hey, devil," and the devil's going to go, what? He's going to look at me and say, "I don't know you. You don't scare me. The Shelton name has never made me tremble." But I'm not. My God, I feel the Holy Spirit. But I'm not coming to you in my name. Coming to you in His name. Jesus. That name. That's what I'm doing. I'm not approaching the battlefield. I'm sending Jesus to battle for me. because I don't even know where to begin. So when you think I'm somewhere saying some great eloquent player, if I'm going to show up, if you'll hear me mumble under my breath, you think I'm going to say something that's going to change your life, more than likely I'm going to say, oh God, help them. Help them here, help them there, help them when they come out. Amen? Never mind. We told God, oh, we'll be better. Listen to this, it gets good. It's going to get better. Y'all good? Are y'all doing all right? I'm doing all right. I don't know if y'all like this kind of preaching, but I'm doing all right. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, I didn't even understand this. I understand this more now that I've studied this out for this message. Here's some notes for you. My grace, not your plan. Amen. I'll say it again. Caitlin, you listen to this one. My grace, not your plan. Nobody else is listening to me in here but you. You hear me? Not it's my grace that's going to be sufficient, not your plan. Because I'm a planner. Okay, God. All right, this is what we're going to do. A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Okay? Got it. Now, if you want to help out with that, that's all right. Lord. Notice I said Lord at the end. When all the planning's been done and all the dots have been crossed and the all the I's and T's. My grace, not your plan. God will take your plans and throw them in the garbage. In like the first day. But God. And then we freak out. Oh God, it's all going to pot. It's bad, Lord. The plan is ruined. Not my plan. Your plan. Now get under my grace. Because I'm about to preach to y'all. Y'all ain't got to preaching yet. I mean, I'm about to preach to you. I ain't got there yet. My grace, not your ideas. Not your idea. Oh, my ideas of how things should go in the church, in the ministry, in my life. God, I have big ideas. My grace. God, I'd be so much better. Church would be so much better if you'd just get with my ideas about it. I've got ideas. God says, I just trust my grace. Your ideas stink. Amen? Oh, this is it. I'll just tell you this right here. My grace, not your way. Some people fold their arms. My way! Not your way. That's right. Amen, sister. There's two people listening. Listen to this. Not your way, my grace. Not your way, my way. How many times do we balk up on God because the minister won't do it your way, the teacher won't do it your way, the church won't. How many times do you have to get whooped by God to stop trying to have it your way? Uncross your arms and let Him have His grace in your life. Y'all ready? Watch this. I didn't get this till today. Oh my gosh, I was sitting there going, why does it say grace? Why does it say grace? And I wrote them down. I hate to preach from notes, but it's more effective than that. I'm just telling you it is. Watch this. Enough grace because God knows how you would react. The issues that won't remove. He knew how you would react to the issue that won't move. I'm going to get deeper, don't worry. It reminds us that it's His grace, even for us, because how we feel about it. See, when we get that thing that won't move, that won't leave, and we prayed about it, and we're mad at God about it, I'll let that sink in. That we're mad about God because He didn't move it right away, or He won't remove it, period. He keeps saying no, and He says, trust my grace. See, the grace, we say, God, we start up here in our mind, we start thinking. And see, He gives us grace because He knew how you were going to think about it. Never mind. I might have messed that up, but I want you to hear this. He knew how you were going to think about it. That thing that you wanted to change and he wouldn't change it, and it's a messenger of Satan. And guess what? When it started happening in your mind, you didn't tell anybody. People ask you, how you doing? I'm good. Bless God. Jesus is good. You said all the bumper sticker quotes you had. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. God's a big God. All of them. Amen. All of them. John 3:16 for me, you know. But in your mind, hey God, I don't feel right. I don't feel good, God. This ain't going away. Hey God, this that report, it didn't change. God, I prayed. Hey God, you're telling people, you're thinking, man. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying before you leave here tonight. God gave you grace for what you were thinking. Not he didn't give you, oh, you need to be more spiritual. He knew you weren't going to be spiritual in your thought. He pardoned you with grace because of that. If y'all don't need this kind of message, I don't know. I do. I got some stinking thinking every once in a while. And I'm glad God. Have you ever gave God your resume on some stuff you've done? Because that thing's coming along and it's hurting or it's bothering you and you want it to be moved and you start saying, hey God, I preached 7 days last week. I read the Bible every day last week. I prayed. God, I'm a preacher. He's like, he's up going, I don't know who you are, male. Where's your name at? I don't see it in Rolodex. I don't even know if God has a Rolodex, but I'm just saying. You understand? But we start thinking, God, he gave you grace for the way you think. He gave you grace for what you say. After you stop thinking it. And then you get tired. You get tired of giving everybody the good old cotton candy answers. And you start being real. Golly. Joy, you can be real with me, can't you? Do you ever get to that place where you stop giving everybody the answer that you want, that they want to hear? How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. Praise God. I'm good. Would you shut up? Just shut up. No, never mind. She don't do that. I do. Shut up. No, shut up. That's getting on my nerves. Amen? I'm ticked off now. I'm mad because I've been praying, and I've been believing, and I've been thinking. Now I'm saying, God gave you grace for what you say. No. Y'all, I can't wait till some of y'all ride home tonight because y'all going to raise your little paw in the car and be like, man, that was good. That was for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But in here, you're like, I don't know what he's... Totally missed the target, brother. What you do, wow. What you think, what you say, and then what you do. Close that book. I would go up there and pray like I normally do, but I ain't going because he ain't answered. I usually go over there and help over there in Awana. I usually go over there and help, and I usually go over there and do it, but I ain't going tonight. Show you good. Go to church every time the door's open. They ain't doing me no good. They ain't nobody blessed. Ain't nobody cares about me. Right? Here we are. God gave you grace for that too. But why? Why is my grace sufficient? And why are you made stronger in His grace? Because there ain't a minister in here. There's not a councilman in here. There's not an elder in here. There's not a saint in here. There's not a church member in here that ministers from a high place. We all minister when we can come down and be empathetic with other people. See, it's hard to be empathetic and think the world needs grace if we don't need none. See, if Paul would have just got visions and just wrote letters and just preached to the church and just helped everybody and he was great, he would have walked around and said, I don't even need to go to heaven. I'm already there. But instead, he's like, man, I need God's grace every single day because this stuff gets me to thinking bad, talking bad, and acting bad and knowing that I need God. So when I need God and I know you need God, I can relate to you still. I can relate to you still. I wrote this note right here. Yeah. It's not so spiritual there, but do you realize that you need Jesus as much as the lowest sinner in the world? I need Jesus' grace. Just like the person who comes in here with alcohol in their breath, with drugs in their system, that's never heard of God and don't even care if they do get them. If they come in here and they give God a stiff arm every Sunday, and I can go, man, they need God. They need God. You know what? I can relate to them. I can empathetic with them. I can sit down with them and say, the same grace you need, I need. See, Paul was a good minister, not because of how high he could get, it's about how low he could get. He said, well, how about Paul? Why don't you reference Jesus? Jesus came down to the lowest of lows, put on flesh, dwelt among us. I think about it every time I think about Jesus. I think about that Last Supper. He stood up. Nobody in there. Everybody was arguing about who was going to wash it, who was going to be the greatest in heaven. And you know what? He looked around and said, you know what? Nobody's done the business of a servant. And he stood up and took off his robe. Just like he did one day in heaven. He stood up and took off his robe. What did he do? He says, I'm going to step out of this and step down to the lowest place I can do, and I'm going to wash you like a simple servant does. God became low, served us all. That's what these thorns in our flesh do. That when you're overwhelmed, I'm going to finish my sermon right here. When you're overwhelmed with that thing that overwhelms you, God's using that to show you His grace. And that thing keeps you humble. That keeps you in a place that you're not greater or better than anybody else, and that you can minister from that place. Amen? Because guess what? I'd love to be a superhero Christian. Oh, good, I would. I'd like to have all the gifts, talents, and abilities. But we're preaching about a man who did. He had all the gifts and talents and abilities. But you know what? He had an affliction so bad that he prayed for it to go 3 times. God said no. Amen? So guess what? Everybody in this room, you've got gifts and talents and abilities that God uses on a regular basis to serve and to reach as many people as you can while you're here. Amen? And that thorn in your flesh, that thing that overwhelms you, it keeps you humble. And you've been praying, God, I wish I could get out of this message. You've been praying, God, get rid of this. And God's like, I ain't going to get rid of it. It makes you who you are. Because you can love me and have that and love other people still. I'm going to give you a nugget before we leave. And when you're really doing that, and it seems like the devil's ringing your phone every single day and leaving you message after message after message like a bill collector does. Amen? That's what? That's when you know you're really doing well. Did you hear what I just said? When you start getting one thing after another, especially when you're serving in ministry and you get that call every day, that little thorn in the flesh, he's telling you this, and this, and this. Guess what? That means you're doing the right thing. I heard this right before I come to church. I said, I had to use this. Praise God. We're building this new building down here at the end of this thing. I hope you know that. It's your church. It's your church. It's Flat Top Independence. It's your church. We're building a new sanctuary right down here at the end of this thing. You know what? We hit rock and we dug for months. Do you know that? We're fighting bad weather now. Do you know that? We're getting reports all the time. This or that. It'll cost this, it'll cost that. Y'all with me? You know what that's going to be? You know what that's going to be? An amazing place that God's going to use. You know why? Because we're getting a call. And every time the call comes and every time the thoughts ring and every time we start acting and thinking and stuff like that, you know what I do? I said, oh, Lord. You're about to raise up something crazy on this mountain that the devil don't want to happen. But guess what? One day, believe it or not, you're going to drive by this church, and there's going to be a building sitting down on the end of this thing, and we're going to be having church in it. You know what? People are going to be getting saved in it and baptized in it, and little kids are going to be anointed in it. And guess what? There are going to be people raised up. There's going to be preachers, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, all out of that church right there. And you know what? The devil hates it, and he's mad, and he wants to give up. He said, let's quit. It's going to cost too much. You know what? We're going to bow our backs. We're going to stiff our neck. We're going to pray a lot more, and we're going to say, you know what, God? Let that messenger keep calling, because one day we're going to call him back. Never mind. That's everything you do in ministry. When you're at your wit's end and you're sitting there going, I don't know if I can do this anymore, get up the next day and do it again. Make a plan. Write it down. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. I can't do this. On the next day on your calendar, if it's the 14th, tomorrow's the 15th, write down, I'm going to get up and do what I do for God again tomorrow when I don't feel like it. Let's all stand.